The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being. I am now solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside Chat. Hey, this week, John and I, we go spoiler-free. We talk a little bit about Mandalorian spoiler-free. Not too much, because Monday's show is going to be about Mandalorian in both episodes 1 and 2. Believe it or not, there is a little bit of news that doesn't have to do with Disney Plus, but there is some Disney Plus news. Of course, we talk about our books and everything like that, but then we do give a little bit of Mandalorian spoiler talk. We lock the door at the end of the show, Kryptonite Key Club time, and we do a little spoiler talk about Mandalorian. So if you've seen the show, stick around for that at the end. Other than that, we are just jazzed and pumped about Disney Plus, and it kind of has been distracting to me this week, I'll be honest with you, but this is my favorite part of the week, so let's get into the story. Hey, John, how we doing?
I'm doing fantastic, DJ. How are you?
I'm doing great. It was nice of you to step away from Disney Plus for a little bit so we could record.
I know, right? I'm like sacrificing right now to do this.
I was watching Mandalorian yet again right before we got on.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I've only seen it once.
So. Really?
Yeah. I mean, I don't have that much time to be watching things twice. In one day.
Well, it's been 2 days. It's been out since yesterday.
Well, I mean, I have to work too.
Oh yeah, that's right. Now this you won't put on in the store?
No, I don't. Like I said, I don't run anything in the store except for advertising. So.
Oh, okay. So, what are your impressions? This is the topic.
Oh, is it? I guess we're going out of order.
It's what's on everybody's mind. It's insane. I'm having a ball with it.
Yeah, so my impressions of The Mandalorian or Disney Plus?
No, Disney Plus in general.
I mean, I haven't been able to put a lot of time into it. Obviously, I haven't put as much time into it as you've been able to. I actually was able to get it connected at about 12:30 on Tuesday night/Wednesday morning. So...
Really? Did you have issues or were you out?
I had no issues at all. No issues at all. It just, I checked it at around midnight, you know, because technically that's Wednesday, and all the apps were available. And,
Monday night, you mean? Tuesday morning.
I'm sorry, Monday night.
I was like, why did
Tuesday
you wait
morning.
So long?
Whatever. Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, not long, early. I got
right.
Like 12:30 Monday night, I guess.
Yeah.
And so I went to the website to see if I could sign up for the bundle that I wanted, and I was able to. So I had everything hooked up on Monday night. But, you know, my wife was asleep in bed, so it's not like I can crank up the theater and watch anything.
Right.
Because, again, my theater is, you know, on the other side of the wall from my bedroom. So, so I didn't get to watch anything, but I was able to flip around through the app and take a look at everything.
Right.
I noticed, first thing I looked at, of course, was Star Wars and was overjoyed that there were 4K Dolby Atmos cuts of all the Star Wars movies, because I had no idea that that was happening.
I don't think anybody did. That seemed to be the surprise to everybody.
Yeah. So that was, you know, that was awesome. And so, like I said, I messed around with it for a little bit and I went to bed. Woke up the next morning, watched
it's like Christmas.
New Hope. Yeah, I watched New Hope before I went to work. Cause again, the first thing I had to watch was Star Wars. Pretty much blown away by it. I mean, the quality was great. The sound was great. So, you know, other than that, I watched The Mandalorian and that's it. I haven't looked at anything else or had a chance to really mess with it, too much more. So. My overall impressions, though, is that it's going to be awesome to dig into.
I did the opposite of you.
Yeah.
I was going to get up at midnight and check it out, but I didn't want to. If I did that, I actually had a pretty restless night of sleep. It was like a Christmas night for me.
You'd be up all night if you did that.
Exactly. So I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to wait till 6 o'clock because that's supposedly when I can get everything. So I'll wait till 6 a.m. That's when the countdown ended. And I was up at, 5 o'clock lying there going, okay. And I came down to the theater at like 4:45, downloaded it. And I was ready to go at 6. Mandalorian was there. That was the first thing I watched. But yeah, if I was up at night at 12 o'clock, I probably wouldn't have gone to bed because we were expecting snow. So I knew I wasn't working on Tuesday anyways.
Right.
So it was just, what a restless night though. I was having like bad dreams. Because I didn't want it.
Disney Plus dreams.
Yeah, like I was dreaming. I was having those like bad dreams that like the network was gonna fail and stuff.
Right.
And the internet would be like a mess, which it there was a little bit of that, but I was so excited for it. It really was like Christmas morning. It was.
Well, I have to say, doing everything at 12:30 in the morning, I had no issues at all.
Yeah.
Because, again, I don't think there was as much bandwidth being used for that.
Nope.
But when I woke up the next morning, again, my time around 7:30-ish to watch A New Hope, I didn't have any problems with it at all. And I know that was prime time where people were going to be messing with the service. I was able to navigate everything. I went right into the movie. It hit play and it started.
Yeah.
I didn't have any problems. And even that night when I got home to watch The Mandalorian, I had no issues at all. So, I know, again, I heard your other podcast where, you had a couple of hiccups, but I didn't experience any of that.
Yeah.
So
they were minor. They were minor. Yeah. And a lot of times, one of the things, sometimes it's not the service itself. If you're in an area where a lot of people are trying to download, it could be your internet locally too. And that'll slow the whole thing down, and then it'll just trigger it like, oh, sorry, can't download it. And it has nothing to do with the server itself. It could be you, that your neighborhood, it could be slowed down because everybody's doing it. So I think things went pretty smooth considering. I mean, a lot of people were getting that message, but it was such a minor thing. It wasn't like, I mean, you remember when DC Universe started, we had issues for months. But yeah, I think this went off fairly well, and, tons of content.
Oh yeah.
It overwhelming amount, but after a few hours, you get used to it. And then you're just like once you've sat there for a few hours, you're like, okay, well, I've seen that.
Right.
And you're like, all right, I'm starting to dive back into the older animated stuff. And I started X-Men animated series, which I've never watched before because that was after my time.
I didn't watch most of it either. I've seen some of it, but not the whole thing. I was surprised. Now we're gonna go, like, I'm not gonna have anything to talk about when we do our Disney Plus show if we keep going here, but I thumbed through, not thumbed through, but I scrolled through some of the animated shows too, and I was so surprised even with some of the shows I remembered. For instance, Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
Yeah.
It's one season.
Yeah.
Like, I literally remember watching that for years when I was a kid.
I think it was more than one, though. I think that's all they
Well,
have.
There's only one. There's only one available. Okay. Because I was like, I mean, I know that thing was on for more. Either that or we just watched a lot of reruns on Saturday morning and didn't care.
Yeah.
And then some of the other ones I looked at, too, and I was like, man, I could have sworn there was more than one season of some of these shows. So maybe we didn't get it all right away.
Right.
Or maybe, like I said, that was just all there was, and we watched lots and lots of reruns.
Well, there's 25 episodes, I think it's 25, right, of Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, for example.
Yeah, something like that.
And
yeah.
I know I bought it a while ago on iTunes, and, I've been busy. I haven't had a chance to do the research to find
it.
But I thought the same thing. I'm like, I know there's more. Or I assume there's more. Maybe I'm wrong.
For instance, the X-Men that you're watching, there's all five seasons are downloaded.
Right.
So it surprises me that they wouldn't put it all on there if it was available. So I'm thinking that it's probably just one season.
Well,
I guess we could, do the research right now and find out.
Right. Yeah, we could.
So while you're we're speaking, I'll do that for us and our listeners.
Well, while you're looking that up, I'll hazard a guess. Maybe it's because it's still at iTunes. Because, you know what I mean? Because I bought it there a while back. So, you got anything?
Yeah. Well. Yeah, I'm looking it up right now. 24 episodes. That's it.
Really?
So, yep. Yeah, that's it.
I felt like I even...
It aired for 2 years, though.
12 a year?
From September of 81 to November of 83 is when it aired. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of 3 years now. Well, 2 years, yeah.
Yeah, it's 2 years. So, yeah, I guess it might have had, split seasons, or they're just calling it one season for the DVD because...
24 episodes?
Yeah, that's it.
Wow.
So,
well, you got to figure we could only see it once a week on Saturday
morning.
Right,
Saturday morning.
So that's, you know, that's half a year right there practically.
Right.
And by the time they bring it back around, you've forgotten because we were kids.
Exactly. Although by then I was between 11 and 13, so I wasn't that young.
But. And if you miss a Saturday, that it's when it comes back around, you're going to think it's fresh.
That's true. That's true, because at 11 to 13, I wasn't sitting there every Saturday morning watching cartoons. So
that was my favorite one, that and Super Friends.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
Yeah.
So.
All right, since my eyeballs have been pretty much fixated on my screen for the last 48 hours, what else is going on in the world? Do you have any other news? I have a few things, but...
It's funny, yeah, I do, but the first news story I have actually has to do with Disney Plus, so...
They're going under?
Which, well, yeah. Yeah, I don't know if you saw today, they have 10 million subscribers on day one or something like that, which I don't know what their target was, so that actually seems a little low to me.
That's what I
which
thought.
Which is weird.
Yeah, I was like,
because I'm thinking 10 million, but it seems low. But in any case, I saved this because I didn't know if it was going to be available on launch, but actually it's already on Disney Plus. But they have a featurette called Expanding the Universe. I don't know if you actually watched it yet.
Yeah, the 12-minute long Marvel featurette.
Yeah, which is just supposed to be like an introduction to
it's
the
really
shows
good.
That they have coming on. So I didn't get to watch it yet, but I was assuming there might be some early production pictures or clips or something. I don't know.
It's about, so. I can tell you one of the things that's very interesting. Kate Bishop.
Yeah.
What was that? Haley Steinfeld.
Yeah.
No mention of her whatsoever in the Hawkeye.
Right.
When they mention that in it. So they did all of the shows and it's Kevin Feige announcing all the shows at different events throughout the summer. All right, you know how
So I bet you it's what I've already seen from New York City Comic Con and stuff. A lot of it's probably
on
YouTube.
Yeah, but it's presented in a great way. It's really well done. But it's very interesting when you get to the Hawkeye one, and they do mention Jeremy Renner. And they have him come out on stage, and he says, you know, this is all because of you, the fans, whatever. You know, they do their little thing. But I really got the sense that it was edited out about Kate Bishop and Haley Steinfeld. Yeah.
Right. I know that when they did those conventions and those announcements, most of them came from New York City Comic Con. I mean, she wouldn't have been there anyway because she was never officially cast. But they might have at least mentioned Kate Bishop or something when they were talking about the show. So, yeah, I guess maybe they're reworking
what they...
Wait
till you see it, though. Wait till you see it. It feels like it was edited. And maybe that's just me projecting because I know, like, the story that's going on right now.
Right.
But I found it interesting that Jeremy Renner, who's supposed to be at the center of this controversy, he was included, and she wasn't, and she was reactionary to the Jeremy Renner situation.
Right.
So, I don't know. Maybe that could be
everything we read was never really true to begin with because again they come from these internet rag sites basically so
like us
we don't right so you know none of them might have even been true
right
And because from when you listen to the interviews that she's doing now, she sounds a little bit surprised that she's even being mentioned.
Like, yeah.
It seems like she doesn't really even know that much about, because she says almost literally, I don't know about that or something like that.
Right.
So
yeah.
Maybe it's kind of just all like the Charlie Hunnam Green Arrow rumors too that, you know, we want to happen, but aren't really a thing. So I don't know. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what they do there.
So before we move on from that, I just wanted to touch on Cousin Marvel and Kevin Feige. Did you see, that he had said that you need to watch all of the TV shows
to
keep
that,
up with Phase 4, where he's saying that they are incorporated. And I had retweeted it with and saying smart, you know, smart marketing. It's like, I'll be watching. And fans like us will be watching. And I'm going through Twitter, and one of the guys I follow on the other podcast that I do, he's like, that's it. I'm out. This is what killed me. I don't, and it's just funny seeing that people, it's like, this is what happens in the comic books. There's too many tangents. I don't want to follow all this. I'm out. This is how you lose fans. And I thought, I mean, that's his opinion. That's fine. And that's why people will drop out. Right. But that is also how they keep people. It's like,
well,
it's just funny
is,
seeing both sides of it.
Who's surprised by that?
Oh,
like,
nobody.
There is no way they're not going to use Disney Plus as a make it integrated so that you have to subscribe to this service. I mean, they'd be foolish not to do that. And I think we all, I mean, that's been said right from the very beginning anyways, that they were maybe not so much that they were going to be required watching, but that they were definitely going to, you know, mix and match with each other. But even with that being said, like, if you're not watching Disney Plus, I still find it hard to believe that you couldn't go to the movie and still at least follow along.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, without having watched it. So I think it's more, again, it gives you more back. It's like reading the miniseries crossovers for Absolute Carnage or War of the Realms,
right? Well,
you can read War of the Realms 1-6 all by itself, but you get more background if you read, you know, I don't remember the titles now, but Spider-Man and the War of the Realms and, you know, all
Punisher,
this other stuff.
And, yeah.
Right. And I think it's going to be along those lines where, you know, if you partake of all of it, you're going to have this deeper understanding and knowledge.
Right.
But they'd be foolish to make a movie that the masses couldn't go see and understand.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
So.
Exactly. And that's, I mean, it, I just thought it was funny seeing, I'm not picking on him. That's his opinion.
No,
it's
I know,
just funny,
but
the
I know.
Two different opinions of like, that's why I'm out. But then there's people like us, like, why wouldn't you want it? It's like,
but you know what that is? And I'm going to put my DJ hat on for a second here now.
Oh,
that's a guy that was looking for a reason not to subscribe and then just,
oh no, he's
and justified himself. Oh,
he did.
Well,
he subscribed,
but now he's out, right?
No. He likes Disney Plus. He subscribed. He's actually put out a bunch of things that he's enjoyed since then. But what he's saying is it's the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe. He's out on that. He's like, I don't like how they're doing it and it's incorporated with the shows. He's like, it gets too convoluted. He doesn't like it anymore.
But again, like, so is, now we're gonna go off on this guy that I don't even know. And I'm not saying go off on him, but, like, is he gonna be a subscriber to Disney Plus and watch the shows, but then just say, okay, well, I'm out and I'm not gonna go watch the movie? Like, that doesn't make a lot of sense either.
Well, what's funny is, I found it to be very analogous to the Star Wars universe in that, there's a bunch of books that are canon. There's a whole bunch of extra peripheral stuff that is canon to Star Wars that you don't have to partake in. But if you do, like you said, you have that depth. But a lot of people don't even know that. They just know the movies and they're enjoying those. And I think that's exactly what you said about the comic book version of, you know, with War of the Realms and stuff. But I just think, you know, some people see this stuff and they think it's like, it's information overload and they're like, that's it, I'm out. And it's a reactionary thing. And I was just mentioning it to show the two different sides. Like,
oh, I know.
As much
I know.
As we think like 10 million people in Disney Plus and that's great. most of the world doesn't care about this stuff.
Oh, I know.
Which is pretty funny. It's like, it is our world, and it's like, we want this stuff, but it's like, there are a lot more people that don't.
Endgame did $3 billion. Like, there's quite a few people that do want it. You know?
No, but maybe not the depth that we do. That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. What else you got?
All right, so I'll skip to something else before I do any more Disney Plus stuff. I just thought this was interesting. There was a story that came out this week that talks about how J.J. Abrams, his original plan for the Star Wars trilogy was for Leia to be the last Jedi. And I don't know if you got a chance to see that.
No.
So obviously her passing. Well, but I'm saying her passing put a big monkey wrench into what was supposed to happen with Leia's story arc through the rest of the trilogy. So I don't know if that where was the Last Jedi? She had passed before the Last Jedi was finished, right? But it had already been written, so I don't know if that actually altered, even with that movie, some of the things that were supposed to happen, or if Rian Johnson just said, look, that's your plan, it's not mine, so I'm not gonna go there. But I just thought it was interesting. Like, at this point, why even bring it out and say it? Because there's no way we can get it. But I just, now we wonder what we might have gotten. I think that would have been awesome, you know.
It would have. It would have. The one thing I don't know if she passed before they finished shooting. She definitely
I'm not
did
sure
before
either.
The movie came out.
Right, but I don't know where I can't remember where the production was when she passed.
But either way, what's interesting is we'll find out next month, but how does that get revamped? Like, because clearly everything was, you know, revamped to the point that, well, if she was the last Jedi, what was Luke?
Right, did that alter Luke's story in some way?
Well, that would have meant Luke would have had to have died, no?
Well, but he did.
Right.
Or we assume he did in Last Jedi. So was Leia, so was he supposed to die, and then she was supposed to carry on to the end of the story and be the last Jedi? Now, does that mean she was going to be wielding a lightsaber? We don't know what that was all going to mean. I just thought it was, like I said, I thought it was an interesting, what if we're never going to get now?
Right.
You know? So.
Yeah. We'll get into a little bit of that in a minute when we talk about, we got some tweets from the other day, but, we could actually get into it now. Did you see any of those tweets today?
Today? No.
Yeah.
Well, I might have. I don't know. I don't know which ones you're thinking of, so you just go ahead.
Paul Fawcetti, he's like, Paul Fawcetti, at Fawcetti62 on Twitter. Another gem. I have so much to talk about this. Maybe I'll take Dr. Joe up on his meetup on Saturday. So many questions need to be answered. And I was like, that's what this is all about. But then he went on and he was saying,
I did see that, and I know you're still looking, but my response to that is, I love the idea that he thinks, you know, we have the answers.
No, and that's why I said the discussions, because no, we don't have the answers, but it's like, he wants to talk about it. It's great. This is what we love to talk about.
But we
about
don't know anything.
Right. You know? When I went,
I won't even be there.
No, but I know. When I went to edit that podcast, I was like, oh my God, we talked for another 2 hours. Yeah. And it's like, it didn't seem like it. And we could have gone on.
Yeah, it was time, actually longer than I thought it was.
Yeah. And it's, I didn't want to slow down. And that's what it's like. And, one of his tweets was, but with Rey's ability with the lightsaber, we saw her numerous times being pretty handy with her staff. So she's obviously had some fighting background, but agreed the force channeling does help.
I saw that. And that actually was a point that I hadn't considered.
Yeah.
You know, when I was talking about all her lightsaber prowess, I had really not considered the fact that
she was pretty good with that staff to begin with, so.
Right.
You know. Again, where she got that training and stuff, hopefully we'll get those answers in December, but.
Yeah, well, if there was training or whatever, but.
Or, it, right.
Right, or.
Somehow she learned how to take care of herself.
Yeah. But that's what's fun is like you and I'll talk and or you'll have an idea and then somebody will say something and be like, I didn't even think of that one. Cause you, there's so many aspects that angles you can come at things. He said, and the title, The Force Awakens, there's been peace since the fall of the Empire, Emperor. When the First Order rose, the dark side did as well, and the Force needs the light to bring balance. How did I lose all these? Where did they all go? Oh, okay. And then, of course, we have from Dr. Joe, I'm with John, while Poe is in a literal copy of Han. Get that smile off your face.
I knew I had Dr. Joe. I know. If I had nobody else... Dr. Joe has my back.
Poe was given many of Han's traits, even with a similar leather jacket. Granted, I love Han and could do without Poe, but yeah, I'm Team Nudie on this one. Hashtag Team Nudie on this one. Pretty funny because one of the things that was funny is going back and watching Star Wars again on the thing. I'm like, Han doesn't have a leather jacket. He's got a black vest.
Well, in Star Wars, he kind of has the jacket in Empire, but it's not really leather as much as it is.
It's just a jacket. Yeah, it's like a waistcoat. It's the black. Yeah, it's a whatever. Yeah. But it was funny. It was like, and we could go back and forth, round and round on that one.
Yeah,
No, and I had said, like I said to Dr. Joe, I go, my overall point was I could show you many where they're similar and dissimilar. That's all. And it's like, but we went back and forth on that one, and I'm sure we will on Saturday. But that's what's like I told you in that podcast. I was standing in the store and I'm like, hey, I gotta head out. I gotta get ready for the podcast that we're doing Star Wars. 20 minutes later. You just say something. People want to talk about it. It was fun. It is fun. It's always fun. What else you got?
Again, to slide back into Disney Plus for a second.
Seems to be a hot topic.
Yeah. Well, with the slate of Marvel shows that they have coming up, The two original characters that didn't actually come from the movies first are Ms. Marvel and She-Hulk. Because all the other shows that were that have been announced are characters we've already met before. But Kevin Feige has come out and, you know, talked about those two characters and how they will absolutely appear in future movies going forward. So, again, just to kind of piggyback on the integration that we were talking about before. But again, I just think that's cool that now we will be having characters going the other way and being introduced on Disney Plus and then hopping over into the movies as well. So they don't make mention of Moon Knight necessarily in this article, but I would expect that he would.
They do in that featurette. They mention Moon Knight coming out soon.
Well, right, but I'm saying I don't know if they mention – this article doesn't mention him being in a movie specifically, but I would imagine that he'll show up somewhere on the on the big screen as well. So, again, that's pretty cool. And then I just have two real quick, just a couple of show renewals. Titans has been renewed for season 3 on Disney
– Remember that
DC
show?
DC Universe. I do remember that,
that
show.
Little channel over there?
Yep, and I know that I will now have to continue to be a subscriber to DC Universe just for that show.
Well, you're a man of your word then.
I am. unless it shows up, you know, by then it could be on HBO Max. We don't know. And then last but not least, The Witcher on Netflix has been renewed for season 2, ahead of season 1 even coming on the air. So,
wow, they must really like it in the editing room.
Well, and I'll tell you, Netflix is really, really pushing this show.
Yeah.
And they seem to love it. And it, you know, seems to be getting some great feedback already. I can't wait for this. I'm really looking forward to it.
I'm nodding over here. I know it's an audio podcast.
I know. <I'm> and again, the fact that they've renewed for season 2 already is pretty good. And I know that the writer of this has said that it's a planned like 6 or 7 season story arc. So that's awesome as long as it gets the support from the viewers and from Netflix to go that long.
Right.
But Netflix isn't necessarily known for shows going past like 3 seasons. So to know that they might even be entertaining a 5 or 6 or 7 season.
Well, isn't Strange Days going that way? Yeah, that's up to like 5 or
Stranger
6.
Stranger Things.
Yeah, Strange Days.
Season 4 upcoming is its last. They've announced that as well.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought they were up to five or so. Oh, you know what I'm thinking of is the Mindhunter.
Oh, well,
I thought I read that that one is going. That just had two, but I heard they have up to five of them.
Well, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
And I know, I think they have Orange is the New Black that did, I don't know, four or five seasons for that show.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it, but I think that's the longest running show that they've done. So, I don't know. Like I said, I can't wait for The Witcher, and I'm glad to, I was glad to see that it's getting at least a second season already.
Yeah. So. I got one more thing, and going back to Monday's podcast with the Star Wars. Did you see Joe Briggs, at Briggs54Joe, on Twitter, what he sent us?
I don't think I did.
So he was listening to our – it's my son, by the way.
Yeah, no, I know that.
I know you know.
I was trying to keep up the illusion, but
no,
I didn't see his tweet, though.
Everybody knows.
Oh, okay.
No, Joe, so – he texted me when he was listening to the podcast, and he's like, hey, and he was looking it up. He was at work. So he looked up that stormtrooper that had the laser axe.
Yeah.
Did you see the tweet?
No.
Oh, I tweeted it out. There's a whole backstory to that guy.
Oh, is there?
So he was in boot camp or whatever with Finn back in when Finn was a stormtrooper. And they were training, and they know each other, and that's why they knew exactly who he was. And he's a if you read the article, he's part of the crowd control group. And it's a pretty good story. I'll retweet it again tomorrow. Take a look.
I know there's a novel that was supposed to explain some of Finn's backstory, and
yeah.
I guess that's where that came from. I didn't read it, so
but it's a great backstory. But that doesn't answer the question why you send a crowd control into a
right. I still don't know why he was there.
Situation.
Exactly. That doesn't right. Still doesn't explain why he was there conveniently with his riot stick. So
right. Yeah. It's exactly. So, I mean, it's a good answer, and it's a fun little backstory, and they tried to backstory it, but that still doesn't explain why they sent him.
Plus, if you're sending him for crowd control, it's not a big crowd because there's only one dude.
Well,
you know, how many people is he holding back? You know?
Well, no, I mean, they sent in a lot of people, but he's the only one that had the crowd control gear.
Right.
So I'll retweet that again tomorrow. And so you said that's all you got?
That's it for news, yeah.
Okay. All right. One last thing. Did you see the tweet from CJ Creates at CJ Pendragon on Twitter?
So, Pendragon?
Huh?
Pendragon?
There you go. Pendragon. Yeah, see?
That's Arthur's last name from Arthur in the Knights of the Round Table.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Did not know that. So she tweeted out, I see so many people talk about hands-off fathers and remember how blessed I am to have found a man who not only is willing but enjoys, all caps, taking them to museums and zoos and reserves and bookstores. Also, peep that Brightside Chat t-shirt and give them a listen for geeky content.
I did see that.
Yeah. Oh, did you? Yeah, that's Michael Alexander.
He's oh, okay.
One. Yeah. And I saw the picture and I showed it to my wife. He is a spitting image of my wife's cousin, Mike.
Oh,
and
yeah?
I was like, look at this looks like Mike. I mean, her cousin, Mike. It's funny. Exactly funny. Like him. But I retweeted that and said, I mean, what a great message. It's a great picture too. It's him and his kids. And
yeah,
I mean, it's a great picture, but it's a great message too, regardless of the attire, like I said, but I thought that was really cool. That really kind of I'm going to say it. That kind of touched me, you know, people tweeting stuff out like that about us. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Or tweeting stuff out like that and attaching our name to it. That was
right.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, all right. Let's get to it. What do we got for comics this week? What am I spending my money on this week?
All right, so the first book we're going to take a look at is the new one from DC called Far Sector. This is issue number one of, I think, 12-issue miniseries. So there's a lot of speculation around this book that the main character in this story, Sojourner Mullen, is her name. in that she may become the main Green Lantern in the DC universe in the comics, replacing Hal Jordan, when they do their, they call it the 5G plan for next year. And, if that's the case, that, yeah, it has nothing to do with your phone network.
I was getting all excited.
Yeah, no, yeah, the DC had put out a generational timeline, and we're in the fourth generation right now, currently in the comics timeline. So the fifth generation is what we mentioned earlier, where, like I said, Luke Fox takes over as Batman, and John Kent takes over as Superman, and so on and so forth. And the speculation is that this character will become Green Lantern. So if that's the case, this is obviously her first appearance. It's got a lot of heat on eBay right now. There's three covers for it. The main cover is selling for $10 to $15, and the other two are sitting at around $10 each. But I have seen auctions for all three covers hitting $45 and more on eBay today. So, like I said, there's a lot of people looking at this. I had a lot of copies of it. It sold moderately well today from my standpoint, but I've got plenty on the shelf at cover price. So, I don't know that you should run right out and pay $45 for them. I think if you look around your store a little bit, you should be able to find them.
Yeah.
But it's definitely worth picking up. We won't know if it translates for, you know, into well into next year, you know, whether she's going to be important or not. But either way, it's still her first appearance. From Boom Studios, we have Folk Lords, issue number one, came out today. The main cover is sitting at just around cover price, but there's a one per store variant and a 1-in-25 variant that are both selling for about $40. So that's almost double ratio on the 1-in-25. We're going to talk about this book a little bit later on because it's one of our book club books. I definitely recommend going out and picking up a copy of this though this week. All right. Marvel Action Spider-Man number 11. There's a 1-in-10 variant for this. So just like last issue where the 1-in-10 variant jumped up to like $150, this one is already selling for about $60. So me being a dumb store owner, I didn't order up to get one of these because I figured that everybody would do the same and the demand for it wouldn't be there because everybody would have realized from the last issue that, you know, so I was like, oh, it won't be worth anything. It'll just be a $10 variant, just like all the rest of them. And sure enough, it's selling for $60. So, if you could pick one up at your store for a reasonable price, again, a 1-in-10 variant, you know, I normally price them at $10. So, you know, if you could get one, I would go out and grab it because next week we could be talking about it again being $150.
Yeah.
So, so I don't know if number 12, like at some point I'm going to have to order up on these and then I'm going to get burned because so I'm not going to get the variant worth $60. All right. Superman issue number 17. So this is the lead in to, issue 18 where Clark is supposed to reveal his identity to the world, and basically give up his, you know, Clark Kent identity and just become Superman. DC's done this a couple of times before, so this isn't a new trick.
Well, I know what you mean. Gimmick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got
you. It's not a new gimmick. They've done it before, but it hasn't been done for a while. So, you know, again, it's not really seeing any spike in price right now. But depending on how the storyline goes in the next couple of issues, this is the lead-in to that storyline. So it might be worth grabbing a copy off the rack for, you know, cover price. And then last but not least, for Speculator Books, we have Unbeatable Squirrel Girl, issue number 50. There's a variant cover by Raza, which is going for about $8. So it's about double cover price. Other than that, you know, there's nothing really special about the issue. So, and that's it, like I said, for speculators.
Other than that, she's unbeatable.
Yes, and so. She's a squirrel girl.
Yeah.
I mean, it is issue 50, so I guess it's somewhat of an anniversary issue.
Okay.
But it's just that one, just that particular variant cover that's, you know, got some people looking at it.
Okay. All right, what do we got for back issue bonus?
All right, so we have The Incredible Hulk, issue 449. This is the first appearance of the Thunderbolts. And I know we've had this on our show before, but it's back in the spotlight again. You know, again, there's a lot of speculation with the Thunderbolts appearing on Disney Plus at some point. So this is selling for $60 to $80 right now for a non-graded copy in decent condition. So, you know, again, it's only continuing to go up. So I would say if you're looking to get one, now is probably the time. We have Unsound, issue number one. This is a relatively new comic. It's only been out for 6 months or so. But it has been optioned for some kind of movie / TV streaming service. I'm not sure exactly what. But it's jumped up to $10 to $15 for that number one issue. Batman Beyond, issue 25. So we talked, I think, 2 weeks ago about the newest issue of Batman Beyond introducing Batwoman Beyond. So her first appearance as Elena Grayson was back in Batman Beyond number 25. So now it is seeing a price increase as well. It's sitting between $20 and $30 right now. The character now is in suit, and she's Batwoman Beyond, so I don't see this necessarily dropping in value at any point. It's probably going to only continue to rise. And then the last one is Mimetic, issue number one. This is from Boom Studios. It's been optioned by Seth Rogen, again, to do something with, and it's sitting at about $15. And that's it for back issue bonus.
All right. Wow. We got a lot in FOC today.
FOC was huge this week. I think Marvel's FOCing like 3 weeks worth of books on here. Happens going into the holidays. Yeah. They start to FOC books early. So there's a lot here. So just jump right in. From Dark Horse, we have Aliens versus Predator, Thicker Than Blood. This is issue number one, and it's going to be a four-issue miniseries. There's only one cover there. DC variant covers. We have Batman's Grave, issue number three. This is the Ji Hung Lee variant. We have Detective Comics 1017 by Joshua Middleton. Harley and Ivy, number four. This is the pair of covers by Amanda Connor. Joker Killer Smile, issue number two, Jeff Lemire. Justice League Odyssey, number six, Lucio Perillo. And Supergirl 37, Derek Chu. And again, these are just the variant covers that I thought were good enough to mention. There's obviously a lot more there as well. And then two new series from DC. This is a one-shot. It's Harley Quinn, Villain of the Year. There's only two covers for that. And then Wonder Woman, Dead Earth. This is number one of four issues. And there's two covers for it. From IDW, we have Dying is Easy, issue number one, and that's going to be five issues. This is also written by Joe Hill, who just launched his big Hill House label at DC. Mm-hmm. So this must have been one of his last under contract titles for IDW. So it is, again, as you would guess, a horror title, and there's two covers for that. Image Comics has Hardcore Reloaded, issue number one of five. Only one cover there. And then Project Xmas, issue number one. This is basically a surprise book. We don't really know what it is. It's being done by Mark.
To do with Christmas.
Well, it's a gift. It's more that it's a gift to us. I don't think it's got to do with Christmas necessarily. But it's being done by Mark Millar, and it's supposed to tie in directly to some of the projects he's working on for Netflix. There's multiple covers there, and they all are nondescript. Like, there's no secrets being given away.
Are they white?
Well, one of them's like a wrapping paper.
Oh, okay.
A couple of them just say classified. Like, we don't know what's going on with them.
Right.
Because they don't want to let the cat out of the bag on what the book is about. So, and I think it's just a one shot, that they're doing, but should be interesting. And then Marvel has variant covers for Avengers number 28 by Emanuela Lupacino. and then Venom issue 21 by Clayton Crane. That's the cover of the week, I think. That Venom cover is fantastic. So definitely want to grab one of those. And then new series, we have 2099 Omega. This is also a one-shot. It's the last, obviously, Omega. It's the ending of the 2099 series that they've got coming up, as well as Annihilation Scourge Omega. Both of those have multiple covers. We have Doctor Strange Surgeon Supreme issue number one, multiple covers. Actually, I'm just going to tell you right now, they all have multiple covers, and I'm going to stop saying that.
Yeah, I said that earlier when you said there's a ton of Marvel. I'm like, and they're all multiple.
Yeah, they're all multiple, so I'm not going to say it anymore. We have Incoming number one. This is also a one-shot. This is a giant, like, I don't know, 80-pager or something. It's $9.99. But it's supposed to – it's basically the culmination of their 80th anniversary year, but also launching most of what's to come for next year from Marvel.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like their year-end extravaganza. But it brings in everybody from the universe, basically. It's got the X-Men, Fantastic Four, Spider-Man, Hulk, Daredevil. I think everybody's present, so should be interesting.
Cool.
We have Revenge of the Cosmic Ghost Rider, issue number 1 of 5. Spider-Ham, number 1 of 5. And Star Wars Kylo Ren, number 1 of 4. That's it for Marvel. From Boom, we have Red Mother, issue number 1. There's 3 covers for that. And from Dynamite, we have Deja Thoris, issue number 1. And there are multiple covers for it. I think the best cover is the A cover, though, by Lucio Perillo.
Oh, yeah.
And that's it as far as FOC goes.
All righty. You ready to get into book club?
Sure.
All right, what do you got first?
All right, so the first book I have is from Boom Studios. It's called Folklords, issue number 1. This is a 5-issue miniseries. It was written by Matt Kint, and it had art by Matt Smith. So this was a pretty interesting book. I don't know if you got a chance to see it or read it.
No.
Normally, when you have a story that involves, like, a fantasy world, it revolves around people from, like, our current reality somehow being transported into this fantasy world. This book is just the opposite. This is a kid that, you know, was born and grew up in fantasy times, but has dreams about, like, our reality. So he, you know, doesn't know what to make of them, but, you know, he runs around wearing clothes that, like, he makes clothes that look like our clothes that we wear now, and he made himself a watch because he saw a watch. Now, it's not functioning necessarily, but, you know, so he runs around in this fantasy landscape dressed in a jacket and a tie and a watch, and everybody, of course, thinks he's crazy. But basically, and when everybody turns 18, they have to go on a quest. And they have to, there's a quest ceremony where they announce what they're going to do. And it's all things like, again, fantasy tropes. You would think about, you know, they want to go find mermaids or, you know, things that happen in fantasy world. His quest is that he wants to find the Folklords, and which he thinks will be able to open up the door to this world where he's doing his dreams. So that's kind of what this first issue revolves around. Not too much more kind of goes on that I can say without spoiling it. But like I said, it's interesting because it's, like I said, it seems like it's the reverse of what we normally get with these types of stories.
Yeah.
So the art was good. A little basic, you know, it was a more cartoony than I normally like, but it worked in this setting.
Yeah.
And like I said, I thought it was interesting. So I think it's definitely one worth picking up and reading.
Cool. All right. My first book is Robin Hood Vigilante number 1. I don't know if you
figured that would be there somewhere.
I was like, I know you saw that one coming. I've been waiting for this one. I just really like this. Did you see it?
No, I did. I haven't read it yet.
Oh, you haven't read it?
No, but I know it's, I saw it come in.
So this one here, it's so Robin's like she's on the run. It's the best way to summarize it is it's kind of like, what was it, season two, season three of Arrow, where the police are after her, everybody, and she's trying to work. She's like almost going to be working with Russians, like Oliver did, and
right.
It's not a story that you haven't seen before. It has a little bit of a twist to it at the end. I enjoy it. I really like I said, you know, I like the Archers, so.
Right.
And the artwork, simple, fun. Xenoscope has decent art all the time anyways. It's just a fun read. You know, I'm not going to say that, you know, run out and get it. It's not going to change your life. It's a simple, fun read. And you know, I always enjoy Robin Hood, so it's, you know, that's my first one. Really good.
Right. Cool.
Writer Ben Mears. Art by Babisu Cordis.
Okay.
okay.
Yeah, I don't know. So.
Yeah, I'm like, okay. You know how good we are with names.
I know.
yeah. All right. What do you got?
All right, so the next book I have is from Mad Cave Studios. It's called RV9. This is obviously issue number 1 of 5, written by Ben Goldsmith with art by Travis Mercer. So this book revolves around a character named Velveteen, who's basically a former assassin. You know, I'm going to say again, like you kind of said with Robin Hood, this isn't necessarily a story that we haven't seen before.
Yeah.
You know, she's an assassin who's basically broken away from the group of assassins that she used to work for.
Yeah.
Doesn't really want to do it anymore. And of course, they're after her because they want her to continue to do it.
Yeah.
And have sent people after her to get her to come back into the fold, or I guess kill her,
yeah.
You know, so that's all this is. But it was still fun. It takes place a little bit in the future. I can't
is
remember what year it said. No, it's not. It's
oh,
basically,
you love it then.
I know. I like it. Just it's, you know,
flowers,
10 to 15
sunshine.
Years. Yeah. Well, and that's funny you say that because it takes
assassins.
Place in most of it takes place in Italy. You know, again, stereotyping the assassins, you know, all being Italian.
Yeah.
But, you know, and of course the boss of the Assassin's Guild or whatever they call him hangs out in his garden and he's playing with his strawberries. So it's funny that you said, you know, flowers
and
sunshine.
At least he didn't have a vineyard.
Yeah, because there was some of that there. Well, yeah, this was strawberry plants. But yeah, like I said, it's nothing that seems super, original in the sense that, you know, it's very familiar, but I liked the art. I thought the art was really good, and you know, it was good. I don't know that I'm necessarily going to remember to read all of it, and I'm just being honest because I read so many books that if I come across it when number two comes out, I'm definitely going to pick it up and read it.
Yeah,
but I didn't love it that much that I'm dying to. To make sure I get the rest of the story.
Right.
Because I feel like I probably already know how it's going to end. like I said, the art was there and, you know, it was fun. So it might be worth checking out if you like that sort of thing.
Yeah. All right. And the last book is we both read.
Okay.
So Family Tree number 1 from Image Comics. Writer Jeff Lemire. Art by Phil Hester and Eric Gabster? Is that right? Gabster?
Looks right. Yeah.
Gabster. Those are actually pretty easy.
I know.
That's why I jumped on that.
From now on, when I pick my books, I'm going to look at the creator names, and I'm not even going to read them if they're too hard to say. So. All my books from now on are going to be written by John Smith and, you know.
What'd you think of Family Tree?
It was pretty interesting, I thought. You know, I think the art was okay.
Simplistic.
Yeah, it was okay. It wasn't great. But it kind of worked with the tone that they were trying to set for the book. This is, sort of a horror, you know, a horror-themed book. Jeff Lemire does a lot of horror writing. But it had a weird, I didn't see the twist coming. you know.
At the end?
And I probably should have based on the title, that's not what I thought when I thought of Family Tree, that wasn't the first thing that came to my mind, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But, I really liked it, and I'll tell you what I liked about the artwork. It's Family Tree. It's in the synopsis. The little girl starts turning into a tree.
Right.
Right? So it's not really a spoiler. It's in the synopsis for the whole book. If you look at the frames, almost every frame, there's a leaf or something in it. Almost every frame. And I thought that was really creative, in that some of the frames, it didn't even make sense to have a bunch of leaves floating around in it. Some other action was going on. I liked that. But you're right. The artwork was relatively simplistic, but I think this is one of those books where the story carries it. It's not supposed to be about the artwork.
Right.
And I really felt like the story did carry this. I was pretty riveted to the story. You feel, right away, you feel for the characters, like 2 to 3 pages in. You're like,
yeah.
They did a really good job at, you know, the mother being a single mom, getting you to that feel of what she's going through, but balancing the kids. Literally in a couple of pages, you see how difficult a time she's having. And it's normal stuff. This isn't like, you know, fantasy world issue.
No, it's just stuff that everybody deals with.
Yeah. Yeah. But then all of a sudden, this other thing pops up that is kind of fantasy world type stuff.
Right.
But all the while, there's an undertone of, this is a backstory. So she's narrating the story.
Right. Whatever's happening has already happened. Yes.
Right?
Right.
So you don't know, you know, where this story's going. It's, how many books is this?
5.
It's 5?
Yeah.
This is a good book.
Yeah,
I really liked it.
Yeah.
I really liked it. Pretty creative, I thought. It like we said on a couple books earlier, this, like, you know, Robin Hood, who hasn't seen this story before? One here, I can honestly say, I'm like,
yeah, it's different.
I haven't seen this one.
Yeah. Very different.
You'd know it if you'd seen this before. Oh, yeah, I remember reading that. No.
Yeah. Oh, that one where they turned into a tree. That old thing.
Yeah.
I remember,
like,
that.
But it's funny, when it's Family Trees, when I picked it up, I was like, didn't I read? Oh, that was trees.
There's been a lot of tree stuff, because it was also like the white trees or something that I was reading.
Yep.
So, yeah, there's a lot of tree books lately.
Yeah, exactly. Back to nature. You know,
yep.
Just in time for winter.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that book. That was good. Anything else? Oh, did you get to read any of the X-Men books?
I read Fallen Angels. I haven't actually got a chance to read X-Men 2 yet.
Okay.
I liked Fallen Angels. I think it was actually...
You did?
Yeah, I did like it. I liked it more than New Mutants and more than Excalibur. I think I still liked X-Force a little better, but I did like this book. This was the one I was really kind of looking forward to, and it didn't disappoint me. I liked it. I get the sense that maybe you didn't as much.
I wasn't riveted to it.
Yeah.
I liked X-Men. We did get an answer in that book, not X-Men.
A little bit of
a
mention of Charles, at least.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. We got a mention of that. I thought that was interesting. And it's funny, because I read X-Men first, and there was no mention in that one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's not really a spoiler.
No, and I don't know that they necessarily... They didn't necessarily have a specific order that they were supposed to be read in, because they don't make mention in either one that say
exactly.
Read this one first. So
exactly.
No,
I enjoyed X-Men number 2. I think that's the one, obviously, I'm going to keep going on.
Right.
I'm not
so sure how much I'm going to keep going on any of them past 2 issues.
You
know, except for X-Men. Because even though I enjoyed Fallen Angels, it didn't blow me away necessarily.
Well, that's how I felt. That's what I mean. I didn't hate it, and I liked some of the story, some of the backstory that you're getting of stuff going on. But it's not like I was like, oh, I can't wait for the next one.
Right.
I was like, oh, all right.
Even the so-called data pages in this one weren't really too informative.
You know what I felt like in that? I was like, all right, enough with the data pages already.
I'm getting a little tired of it, too.
Well, and like you said, it's like they weren't even that informative.
Right.
It's almost like just more filler.
Reading. Yeah, it's just extra reading there. I don't mind them when they're relevant. Like,
right.
all through House and Powers, I felt like those pages lent a lot to the story.
Yeah, I was using sticky notes to mark them so I could get back to them quicker.
But it seems like as we go further on into the Dawn of X, that they're just now a tool that they feel like the writers feel like they have to put something there.
Right.
And they don't really know what to put there. So,
right. I think the X-Men story's fun. That's the one to follow along. And then the other one, I actually like Marauders too.
I still like Marauders. Like I said, I'm definitely going to read Marauders. I'm going to give them all at least one more issue, except for New Mutants. I'm definitely not reading number two. but all the other ones I'll read at least one, maybe two more to see where they go. But I think I like Marauders out of all of them the best, except for, of course, the X-Men book itself.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Read anything else?
I mean, I did read a lot. Nothing that stands out necessarily as having been great.
Event Leviathan.
Sad to say. I read don't even get me going on that. I was very disappointed in that book. The whole story I thought was dull and uninteresting.
It wrapped up slow.
It
started really strong.
I think the reveal
the story.
The reveal was underwhelming. The worst part of it to me was when it said to be continued in Action Comics 1018 or whatever.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, damn it, I have to keep reading more of it. Like, I don't want any more of Leviathan. I'm done with it. It's dull. I thought it was a bad event, honestly. And I didn't like the wrap up to it. Can't really recommend it. I think, like I said, the reveal was very
underwhelming.
Well,
if you've been reading
if you're going to finish it, but. Like, I couldn't recommend somebody to pick up all six of them and read it. I don't think it was worth the time.
I thought it started strong. I thought it was a lot of fun to start with, but it did, and it definitely petered out.
Yeah.
And it pales to Deceased.
Yes, I thought Deceased was much better.
Yeah, again, I know, and I would agree with you if you jumped on me, but I'm like, I think if them two running concurrently, it kind of hurt Leviathan. But you're right. If Leviathan is bad, it's bad. You know
what I
mean?
I think bad. But, yeah. Because if it was great, we wouldn't be talking about, Deceased came out too.
Exactly.
You know? I think it was just bad.
But I'm sure it doesn't help it either.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't, but I don't know. And I don't know where it's going still. Like, obviously, we're not done. This is just the beginning of it still.
Yeah.
All this miniseries did really was just reveal who Leviathan was. It didn't resolve any part of the story, so.
But see, that's what I liked about it at the beginning. It was such a fun mystery, and that's what we like about, like, Batman stuff.
Yeah,
it's
You
want that detective stuff.
It didn't pay off.
Really was like, wah, wah.
And I get the feeling, like, that this is Bendis's big design that we're going to be following along for a long time. Hell, we're seeing Leviathan in Supergirl on the CW. So,
yeah.
I think he intends for this to go on for a long time, and I'm not really on board for that ride. Like, I might get to the point where I keep reading Superman and I stop reading Action Comics because I don't care about what they're doing with this.
Right.
At all. So, but yeah, there weren't really a ton of other DC books that came out this week that, you know, really kind of jumped out at me. I did read The Punisher, though, the Garth Ennis Punisher. And I'm not generally a Punisher fan, necessarily, but I enjoyed that book. I thought it was really, really well done, so I would recommend going and picking that up.
Did you read Morbius?
I did read Morbius.
That was good.
Yeah, I thought it was okay. I thought it was okay. I didn't love it, but I'll definitely read number two to see where that goes. And then the big one, again, we talked about Far Sector, the Green Lantern story.
Yeah.
Again, I didn't like it. I didn't enjoy it at all. Yeah. The character seems fine. Like, I liked her in general as a Green Lantern, but the story seemed really dull to me. So I don't know. We'll see. Not a glowing recommendation for books this week.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
No, I'll say on Morbius.
But sometimes it's just there, you know. Sometimes they're not all great.
I'll say on Morbius, though, I really like the artwork. The use of light, literally the highlights in the background, dark shadows, you know, just basically the way they framed everything, and very vibrant. I thought it was, all the frames seemed to pop, all the panels. I really liked it.
Oh, and let me complain just a little bit more. Did you read the Black Cat Annual?
No.
Okay, like, I want my money back, and I didn't even pay for it.
Wow, let me grab that one.
This is worse than the Batman Catwoman wedding. It's like, this is such a scam. Like, this is the wedding of Black Cat and Spider-Man.
Yeah, but I like the Batman Catwoman wedding.
But it didn't happen. That's the whole thing. This doesn't happen either. Like, this is such a scam to get your $5 for this annual.
Well, that's because you know it's already been done. You know what I mean? Like, when King did that, it's like it hadn't been done. And we thought it was going to happen.
Well, read it and then get back to me, and you'll know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's not a wedding. That's why my whole point is the only wedding is on the cover. Like, it's not even a thing in the story. It's like sham thing that they do because she's trying to set somebody up and she needs somebody to stand in with her. Like, there's no actual wedding or romance.
They don't even care about it.
No.
It's
just a...
That's awful.
That's what I'm saying. It's ridiculous. And when you open it up in the whole first page with all the creative team, it's done like on a wedding invitation. Like, they really play up this wedding aspect. And this book isn't about a wedding. Like, there's maybe six panels in the whole book that has anything to do with this wedding. It was such a sham, and honestly, Marvel should be ashamed of themselves for it. So, you know, again,
# bright side.
Yeah, I'd say lots of glowing recommendations from the comic book store owner that needs to sell a lot of books this week.
All right.
So,
Any other glowing recommendations?
No, I'm sorry.
All right.
I just didn't enjoy a lot of books this week. I hate to say that, but.
All right. You want to wrap up then, and then we'll do a little bit of Mandalorian talk. Spoilers. We'll lock the doors. We'll wrap up here. Do a little spoilers of Mandalorian because we're going to have tons of Mandalorian for Monday.
Sure.
Mandalorian Disney Plus for Monday. So. All right. What did you guys read this week? Does anybody else have any glowing reviews? Let us know on Twitter @brightside_chat. And you can email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. We have proud members of the Nerdy Legion podcast network. I keep forgetting to put podcast network at the end, but I think everybody knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, well, it should by now.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get out of here. I want to talk about Mandalorian a little bit, and then I want to get back into my theater and watch more of Mandalorian yet again.
All right.
All right. We'll see everybody on Monday.
All right. Take care.
Everybody.
Yep.
Hey, Fred.
All right, the door is locked?
Yeah.
All righty.
They are.
So, Yoda baby.
Yeah. That was a surprise.
Yeah, that was a good surprise. That's what I wanted to talk about. I want to lock the door and talk about it now. I didn't really want to wait till Monday to talk about that.
Yeah.
So, my first question when I saw that, don't ask me why. I have three questions.
I have no answers. Go ahead.
Is it Yoda's? Is it Yoda's? Is the first question. If it is Yoda's, is Yoda the father or the mother? Is there anywhere in Star Wars lore that says what gender Yoda is?
We don't even know what race he is. Like, there's
that's what I mean. Yeah, I don't think that really matters because races have different.
Well, but he could be like one of those frogs that like spontaneously changes gender to have babies or whatever.
Well, then
we don't know.
That's the other one that could possibly be is he part seahorse where he can force do it.
Right. <to him. laughs> I guess my thought when I saw that
the baby, you mean?
The baby, yeah, the Yoda baby, is that like obviously they're, I don't know if they're like an endangered species or like they were willing to pay like a lot of money. Like they offered the Mandalorian like a huge sum of money to retrieve
right.
the baby. So well, that, are they almost extinct? Like I didn't realize that. I mean, we knew Yoda came from a planet, obviously, of other Yoda people. We don't know what their race is, so I'm just going to call them Yoda people.
Right.
But, you know, we assumed he came from a thriving society. Like, it wasn't really implied that he was one of the last of his species or anything like that. But that's the feel I get now from this show, is that, like, maybe he was one of the last of his species. And this baby might now be the last, or yeah. We don't really know. Or maybe they just want him because they know Yoda was a powerful Jedi, and they think they can manipulate this being that might be force sensitive. I don't know.
Yeah.
But like I said, they offered a giant, you know, and I don't understand how the credit system works in Star Wars, but it seemed like they were offering a large sum of money for him to retrieve him. So
yeah. Well, that's that steel that they gave him. That's the value. What is that stuff? What was it called? Do you remember?
I can't remember. No, I can't remember.
That steel, and it's,
yeah.
You know, so that's the Mandalorian metal
that
they use. So, and I guess he's getting what, like a ton of it, like quite literally, I think they said.
Right.
You know, I don't remember the actual.
10 truckloads full of it or something. Yeah. I don't remember
what
it was.
They said it was like truckloads.
It was a lot.
Something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a lot.
It was like, and the,
although apparently it's so valuable that he just took it and melted it down and made a pauldron out of it. So.
Well, I think it's like, you know, it's some kind of like a Valerian steel or some kind of metal that's, you see what it does. It deflects, you know, blaster shots.
But I don't know if he's selling, if he can sell his pauldron. I don't know if he can trade it for food later on. Or
well, they didn't use all of it for his armor.
No, because she said,
because
that was the thing too, is she says that whatever he doesn't use, the leftover was going to be enough to support, like, I don't know, you know, for 15 cents a day, you can feed 100 starving children, you know.
She's sending the rest to Sally Struthers.
Yeah, and that was just the one piece, and there was supposed to be, like, truckloads more. So,
right.
Like, it's this giant king's ransom that they're offering for. Like, he'll never have to bounty hunt again if he catches in on this. It should be a short show, just one season, because he'll be rich when he's done, so.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into more of like the depth of the show that I found, the depth of the show and stuff like that. We'll get into that on Monday. Right. Anything else you wanted to touch on quick? I really wanted to just jump on that.
Just wanted to jump on the Yoda baby. Yeah.
Well, and the other thing was, did you see that people were spoiling it yesterday?
I did.
And it was like early in the day too. Cause I was done with the show at 7 in the morning.
Yeah. And I didn't see it until at night, and I had to avoid spoilers all day.
Like, and people coming out and saying, I just got to say this. And you'd be like, really? It's only been out for a few hours. Why do you have to say that? Like,
you don't just got to say it.
Because here's the thing that kind of bothers me about that. You're not breaking news. This is a recorded event that if people want to see it, they will see it.
Right.
And they want to see it unspoiled. You're not breaking, like, did you hear what just happened down the street?
Yeah.
It's like you're reporting on something that was recorded.
Right. Something didn't just explode or nothing blew up or, you know, nobody died.
Yeah.
You don't have to say it.
Breaking news. It's like, you know, like I tweeted out at 6 a.m. I'm in, and I know a lot of people were like liking it and retweeting it later. And some people might have been thinking I was saying I'm in, like I love Disney Plus, and I was just saying like it's working.
Right, I'm in. Yeah,
I'm in Disney Plus. So that was it. But that, you know, that's the extent of it. It's like, I think it was Paul Fawcett was like, I said I'd seen I watched The Mandalorian. That's all I said. And he goes, spoiler free. And I told him, I'm like, I think I said it was good, and it was like a Western. Yeah. I don't want to say anything more than that. You know,
all that I'm really saying is that I watched it. I wasn't going to say anything else.
I don't want to bother you because I don't even want to come out and say it was awesome, because then that's going to set somebody's expectations.
Right.
It's just, and I feel bad. It's like even Star Wars kind of even coming out and saying there was a surprise, you know, a big spoiler in it. Luckily, they didn't say it was at the end, because it kind of played for me, because throughout the entire episode, I was like, is this a spoiler? Is this a spoiler? It's like, what's the big reveal that's going to play into the Star Wars universe? And then, of course, you get the end, and it was like, oh, wow. But yeah, that was it was a great show.
Yeah.
Only, very short.
That's 38 minutes. I was a little disappointed that it was so short. Because, you know, standard, you know, if it's an hour show, you know, standard on streaming is like 45 to 48 minutes usually.
Right.
Because, you know, to account for commercials and stuff on a network show. So 38 minutes I thought was a little short, but it didn't feel like it flew by. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't necessarily feel that short, I guess, when I was watching it. But because on any show, no matter what it is, if I'm really engrossed in it, it feels like the end comes too quickly anyway. So I just, you know, felt like it ended and I wanted more. But when I saw the runtime, I was a little surprised that it wasn't a little bit longer.
Yeah. So. All right. All right. Is that enough?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to get out of here. Back into the theater. Watch it again. and then we could talk. Well, we're going to talk both episodes for Monday, right? Episodes 1 and 2.
Yeah.
For Monday.
I think that's the plan. Yep.
All righty. For those that stuck around, thanks for sticking around. We will see you guys on Monday.
All right.
Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.